It's Wednesday, May the 9th, and you're tuned in to the Channel U podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Vince.
That's right, you are. And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, and we talk about all the cool things in the world.
I'm Anthony.
What's up, everybody?
I don't know.
It's a new week.
Sky. Sky's up.
Is it?
Ooh! Bum, bum, bum!
The only way that would be happening, or true, is if you believed in a flat Earth.
True. True. And everyone knows.
Are you telling me that you saw...
All I'm saying is that a compass wouldn't work on a round Earth because it would just point through the Earth. And there's no way that it could point at both poles at the same time because it's a sphere. How could it reach? Doesn't make any sense.
I want to get to who's side you're on now. What you arguing for? So guess what? This week we decided not to do anything.
That's a lie. We went bike riding.
That's true. We because it is the summer months, Anthony has bought a bike.
I did.
Before we record, we have started cycling.
We did.
So if we sound a little fatigued.
It's because I'm fatigued.
Yes. I'm not though.
Hey,
I'm,
guess what?
What's up?
Fuck you. I saw you go up a hill and then back down and then back up the hill again. And I'm like, this bitch. This motherfucker. He, like, I looked at him and he looked away. Like, he wanted to make sure, he wanted to, like, surprise me. It's like, oh, he won't know it's me. He won't know it's me. It'll be some other biker. And I'll surprise him again. I'll be like, yo, what's up? Why are you so slow?
Yeah.
You jerk.
I had to get my workout in.
Jerk. Biking's hard.
All you gotta do is just catch up.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's all you gotta do. It's pretty simple. You just keep pedaling.
Just do it.
You just do it.
Just do it.
And then you'll be there. That's my tip.
I guess.
That is my pro tip. We do not have a review this week. Nope. Not that I know of.
Did you finish Aggretsuko?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because I'm still watching The Office.
Ah!
Yeah.
You're watching the popular one. Actually, they're both popular. Yeah. You're watching the more popular one.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And it's still really good.
All
right. I'm on the tail end of season 5, and I'm loving it. Anyways.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
Let's switch gears for a second, because we got a question from Paul Chu.
A question to chew on.
Speaking of which, he did appreciate that you wanted to move the spoilers to the end.
Oh, yeah. No problem, Paul. No worries.
And I'm sure there's other listeners who appreciated that as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that people appreciate me.
Yeah.
At least someone does. Vince.
I was trying to look away. I'm like, wait a minute. Is he trying to hint something?
God.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyways, Paul writes, so Infinity War happened, and we all think it's great.
It's pretty good.
I feel that a lot of the sentiment is due to the compelling villain that Thanos made. This week's question, why do you think the compelling MCU villains are so few and far between? Ego, Dormammu, Baron Zemo, and many others come to mind as almost throwaway villains. Do you think this is because non-nerd normies need to have their heroes win at the end of the movie?
Fucking shots fired.
I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
You wanted to stop there before we move on?
Sure, let's stop there and then go forward. So I want to hear you first, like... Why do you think that those kind of thought out villains are so few and far between?
Because,
like, if I remember Cap 1, like, maybe Red Skull works.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I can't really think of someone that had sort of a depth like Thanos did.
Loki.
Okay. Yeah, that counts.
Loki's the only good villain I could think of.
Yeah.
Well, they are all... I don't know, to be honest.
I think it's a matter of medium. I think it's a matter of time, right? Like, you can't... Like, Dormammu's case.
Yeah.
Which is, you have to set up Doctor Strange as who he is, what he is, why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
Right? And that eats up a lot of time. And who's, like, his main villain, which is Dormammu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, but that thing is like, Dormammu being this cosmic being that is like an all-powerful sorcerer.
Yeah.
That also sets up, that also helps set up for him, right? Like, to learn about Doctor Strange as a character, because it's like, oh, his greatest villain is this, also this other sorcerer. So he's powerful, right? it that fight for how shallow it was kind of builds off that. But
yep.
I don't think you'll ever, unless they dedicate a whole movie like they did with Thanos to the villain yeah. like that, I don't think you'll ever get that just because you have to make this runtime reasonable.
Yeah.
You can't have this yeah. 6-hour grindhouse film
mm-hmm.
where you're going to learn every little nook and cranny yeah. like you would in the comics. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I would also say that like in the case of Thanos, I think the only reason he works is because that movie is told from his perspective.
Yeah.
And like he's, and in terms of the fight of the good guys against the bad guys, Thanos is the only bad guy in that movie.
Yeah.
Whereas on the good guys, they have so many characters.
Yeah. And he has minions.
Yeah, right? But like they're meaningless, right?
And the reason like the so many characters yeah. work is because they all have their own movies that build up to this.
Yeah, so I would say that the only reason the villains, you know, are hard to come by in the Marvel films is that they only aim to exist for those specific films that they're in, and there's yeah. no need to focus on them any further than that.
Yeah, they're not gonna have like yeah. Like even this, though this is an event, like yeah. I don't think it's gonna be as crazy as say a comic event where it's just like, oh, here's all the villains and all the things and they're doing all the craziness and then sides are switching and whatever yeah. right? They're trying to simplify it down before they get too buck
yeah.
wild.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's as someone who generally likes villains or anti-heroes a yeah. lot, it is kind of a bummer that they are mostly thrown away.
Yeah.
But
into a second point, like the heroes always have to win type yeah. thing. Like, I don't think that's a non-nerd normies yeah. thing. Like if you look at most comic books, if you even look at most movies, happy endings are kind of like, they're good. Like, they're fun, right? You can do a lot of stuff. It doesn't leave your audience kind of peeved
yeah.
Or sad or whatever. And those stories exist, right? Like, we always talk about my high school romantic comedy Snafu.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other examples that I just can't think of where endings are sad. And yeah. you know what? Shit doesn't work out because.
Mm.
But those are always, at least on a mass scale, like even anime fans for Snafu, a lot of people I know complained about that ending because it was quote unquote too real, right? Yeah. And so it's not what a lot of people come to media for.
Right.
And that's probably business. That's probably like a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
That was that one good. So we're eating expired Timbits. Vince just found a box of Timbits in the basement that have been here since Monday, just mm-hmm. so you know, it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate one. He's like, oh, this one's okay. Because we just ate two, like, real stale ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think that's the whole thing of endings have to be happy isn't just because of quote-unquote normies, right? It's something that's in all media.
To be fair, I wouldn't. It's not so much that it's the whole non-nerd normies. Comic books have always been that way. The hero always wins.
Yeah.
And this is just following. Like, I know a lot of people who read comics, and they don't like it when the hero loses. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, they come to comics because they want that escape. They want that. They want to see their heroes be the good guy and win. And I feel like that's reflected a lot in
MCU. Well, that's the thing about MCU. Yeah, it's the thing about Superman, right?
Yeah.
Like, Superman is all things to all people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For as much as I love bittersweet endings, like, I'm not going to ever go into a superhero movie hoping that the hero is going to lose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. All right, let's move on to the next part. Also, I think it's pretty universally accepted that Loki and Thanos have been the best MCU villains to date. Who do you feel were the most neutered and tossed away?
Neutered and tossed. I would say Dormammu as the example I brought up.
Yeah.
Which is they used him. They use an all powerful sorcerer space being specifically to further the intro of Doctor Strange.
Mm.
Like, even though it was this epic space thing,
yeah.
It still didn't really, like, he didn't pose much of a threat. Like,
yeah.
he figured out how to beat him.
Yeah.
Through sheer annoyance, right?
Yeah.
Other than that,
I don't know. I feel like Ultron could have been more of a badass.
He did.
Like, I don't know if he had to die.
when he did the when they did the remix of Pinocchio's theme, yeah, it was all No Strings on. I was like, man, I'm ready.
And yeah, this guy was a bad, but they, yeah, it fizzled out and threw him away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's who I would have picked. Yeah.
Oh, what's his face from the new Thor movie from Ragnarok?
Oh,
the slave guy, the guy who ran the whole planet, the Grandmaster.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, like he was barely a threat.
Yeah,
he was just there for jokes. Like, yeah. I thought that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's also a different type of movie.
Yeah, the villain there was Hela.
Oh yeah, true.
Right. True. So, yeah.
And Hela, oh, Hela was a good villain.
She was good. Yeah. She was evil.
She was also very attractive.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really into Cate Blanchett, but she looked good in that movie.
Like, I don't understand. Like, if she was like, "Hey, Anthony, I need you to follow me, and also, like, I'm gonna murder a whole bunch of people," I'd be like, "You know what? You're hot. You can do what you want. Like,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do." I understand.
Okay. And one final question before I put Infinity War away. You guys, Anthony particularly, have said that you were kind of done with the MCU and were just waiting to get through Infinity War and the next one, I'm assuming. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We're going to finish the thing.
Yeah. To be done with it all. Has the quality of Infinity War changed your mind at all?
Not particularly.
I agree.
I think this is a great storyline. A lot of this has to go with the actors leaving. Like, I want to see Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. I want to see Cap as Chris Evans, and because their contracts are expiring, it's kind of like,
yeah, and it's more than that. Yeah. They've themselves have said to, like, listen, we're done.
Who said that?
Well, like, they've,
like,
they've
all said that.
Yeah, no. Like, oh, actors. They have expressed or hinted at least that, like, you know, at some point it's got to end.
Yeah,
and what better way?
And so a lot of it is changing of the guards. And this isn't to say, like, I'm gonna go out of my way to never see a Marvel movie ever again.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm gonna be as dedicated to seeing every single one like I am now. Like, I have no real affinity for Ant-Man or Wasp or anything, but I'm still gonna go see it because it's part of the
whole thing. Yeah.
Right? So I think those kind of like side hero stories, I don't think I'm gonna be as dedicated to wanting to watch. Like, if I miss them, it'll be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know if I would say that the quality of Infinity War was anything huge. I feel like it more or less delivered on the expectations that the other movies had set.
Yeah.
So, in terms of continuing on past that, I'll watch for sure. If there is something that looks interesting, I'll watch it. But yeah, I won't be as
I gotta committed. See every single thing in committed. The theaters within the first week to be a part of the zeitgeist.
Ant-Man and Wasp, I have zero interest. As much as like Paul Rudd, I just got zero interest.
Still gonna see it.
Yeah. I will say I am super excited to see Captain Marvel, if only because it's definitely focused around S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.W.O.R.D., and that's more of an interest to me.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel's cool, but she's not really...
She's Superman, right?
Sorta, yeah. Yeah,
that's like what I could gather from her Wikipedia page.
Yeah, so I mean, she'll be fine. And the fact that it takes place in the 90s,
that's be cool.
The real reason.
I feel like that's like we should set this in the 90s because all the 90s kids. If you're a 90s kid, you'll remember these references.
Yeah, like that's the secret reason. Like, I want to watch that movie.
Devil Sticks.
But yeah, I don't know. With the ending of the Avengers, I feel like it would be a great place to just tie a bow on it and forget.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to the comic store and they're like, oh, this is a new jumping on point, right?
Yeah.
This is a
great jumping off point.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, yes, this was a great story. I liked it for what it was and I'm ready to leave it now.
Yeah.
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 So that's
where I don't think that's to say, again, just that we think this stuff is bad.
No.
I'm just so worn out.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's the reason I was like, when New 52 first started for DC, I was like, I'm going to start collecting Suicide Squad like a motherfucker. And then I did it for a long time, and I was like, I can't keep up with these releases. Like, and also, even though I only collected one series, like, those comics take up a lot of space.
Yeah, I mean, it's anything, like manga, like anime, like Bleach. I checked out once Ichigo lost his powers. Did the story continue?
Oh, hell yeah, it did.
It sure did.
Oh, it got dumb.
But in my mind, it's over.
Oh, trust. When Ichigo lost his powers, that's the perfect ending. He walks off into the sunset.
Yeah.
He sells his friends in Soul Society who come visit him once in a while.
Yeah.
But he saved the world.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, dog. Let me tell you about this guy who can summon space. Yeah.
So that, for me, that's where Avengers is going to live.
Yeah.
Lives and dies.
Alongside Bleach.
Yeah. In my head canon. That's where they all end.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
Yeah. You want me to start or you want to start?
Mine are short.
Okay. You go.
My first one is Overwatch.
Yes.
There's a new map called Rialto.
Rialto.
And sounds Italian. This is basically the map that they used for the Overwatch Retribution event a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
The event map was at night, but the map that they're going to give you now as an escort map will be in the day. And it is Italian themed. It is beautiful. It sets the stage for the home base of Talon, the evil people led by Doom the Fist. And Reaper Death and Widowmaker.
And Death.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Sombra.
Okay. All right.
And it's a fun map. I really like, I like the way, I don't know. I
also,
like,
it's out.
Yeah, it's out. You can play it. There's a specific playlist where you just play that map. And cool. It's an escort map, payload map. Those are my favorite types. Those in hybrid. So I love it. I'm digging it. It's nice. It's a cool map. It's different. You know, I really like the diversity of maps in this game. They tend to go around the world, do a lot of cool things. So It's a fun map. The second thing is that it's in between. It's kind of like off season in between events right now in Overwatch. And they always have something to keep your interest. So this time they're like, hey, let's support breast cancer.
Okay.
And they made a pink Mercy skin.
So I saw this skin.
Yes, you did.
It's the Pornhub skin.
It's undoubtedly the, shall we say, most sultry Mercy skin.
Dude, the pigtails.
Yeah.
They're killing you.
So Mercy's supposed to be like, I don't know, early 40s, late 30s.
Yeah.
This one makes her look like a cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Like, all pink.
Let's go, team!
This skin is only going to be available from May 8th to May 21st or something.
Okay.
It's in support of Breast Cancer Research Foundation. The only way you can get the skin is you actually just have to buy it. That's the only way you can get it.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
It's $15.
It is $15.
I don't play Overwatch.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I kind of want to buy it.
So I bought the skin.
Yeah.
It was, because we're in Canada, it's $20.
Fuck.
Yeah. The good news is, though, Overwatch or Blizzard have made a statement. They said all proceeds go to the research fund.
Not just profits.
No, it's all proceeds.
Okay.
That's so fair. Obviously, you know,
if you feel better.
Yeah. Like if someone in the back wants to be like, are you sure it's all? Like, how do you know it's blah, blah, blah? I'm like, we can play the game forever, but their statement is all proceeds.
Can I get a tax receipt?
You cannot.
As this is a charitable donation.
You cannot.
Lame.
I mean,
because it's over, it's $20, so you can get a tax receipt.
Yeah, like, I don't know how you
if
get you, it, though.
Like, get a digital receipt through your email, and then...
See, I have a digital receipt, but I don't know if it actually says that it... Like, it just says it's a purchase on the PlayStation Store.
Oh, it doesn't say what it's for?
Yeah. Mm. Like, it says Mercy Skin, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't say for, like, whatever.
Listen, I want to donate to charity, but I also want to get something out of it.
Yeah. Ah, oh, the way the world works. But yeah, no, it's it doesn't change the game or anything, but it is easily the best skin that Mercy has.
Okay.
And I'm using it.
Nice.
It's great. Looks great with gold weapons.
Is the beam pink?
No, but she has different sound effects.
Oh.
They're like really bubbly and cheerful. Oh,
to yeah. Like amplify the cheerleader effect? Yeah. All right.
And when she talks, she has like a higher pitched voice.
Oh my god.
So it's...
Do you guys need healing?
If you've ever wanted that Mercy fantasy, here it is.
Please. I have a brain for that.
Okay. Yes, I think I had another one.
Was it the Walmart Canada?
Walmart Canada?
Yeah, with their E3 announcements.
No, It was Deadpool and Celine Dion.
Oh, that. Oh, this was weird. Yeah, just keep going. This is
so,
weird.
Like most movies, there's a soundtrack involved. And sometimes in certain movies, they get a big time musician.
Yeah.
And they, usually in a lot of like really great epic romantic movies, they have a scene or that's like a somber montage moment and they play a song and that song becomes associated with the film.
For example.
Yes.
The Titanic.
Oh, yes. What song would that be?
I don't remember.
Well, you know.
Was it My Love Will Go On?
Like, yeah, My Love Will Go On. Yeah. Sung by the famous Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Well, Deadpool conscripted Celine Dion and they got her to sing a song just like that for Deadpool.
And they released a music video.
In which Deadpool
is dancing
with Celine Dion.
In heels.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time.
And it's incredible.
This is so weird. Because I love the way Deadpool dedicates themselves to the joke. Because this song is actually good. Right? This isn't a joke song.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good, like, I could listen to this.
Yeah.
And not know what the... Like, what it's associated to.
Yeah.
It's like, what was it? Like, can beauty come from the ashes or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like a beautiful song. It's like really nice.
Yeah.
It's a really nice song. But when you know it's attached to Deadpool,
yeah,
it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. Like, they didn't go out and make like a Weird Al version of a Celine Dion song. They made a legitimately good Celine Dion song and then was like, also, it's for Deadpool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Check it out.
Yeah. Since I already spoiled some of my picks, I'll tell you about the leaks that happened.
Uh-oh.
E3 is just around the corner.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
It is.
But, to be honest, it's already here. Because Walmart Canada has leaked pretty much all the big announcements. So they put up accidentally pre-orders for what is assumed to be every single thing being shown at E3.
Yeah.
Which assumes that all of these things are either this year or early next year.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through some of these that we already know exist. So yeah. The Last of Us 2.
Yes.
We got Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay.
Metroid Prime. Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Some Lego game. Beyond Good and Evil 2. Dreams. Some sports games and whatever.
Wait, what's Dreams?
Dreams is that, I think it's by Media, the one by Media Molecule.
Oh, so it's not Nights into Dreams.
No, that also, Nights into Dreams fucking sucks.
You don't know that.
I do, because I played it. It's not good.
It's the best game ever.
But the main thing here is that they leaked a whole bunch of stuff that hasn't been announced yet.
Yes.
So we'll go through it, which do you want to go through? I'll just go through an order that Wario64 posted it in. Just Cause 4.
Okay.
Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest 2 for the PS4 and Xbox One.
Wait, Dragon Quest 2?
Yeah. They're remaking Dragon Quest
2. Oh, okay.
Borderlands 3.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Rage 2. Again, who played Rage?
But it might be the most beautiful, most hardware-intensive game that the PS4 has ever seen.
I'll have to buy it on my PC just to benchmark it. Rage 2, I already said that. Gears of War 5.
Oh, maybe I should keep my Xbox.
Forza Horizons 5. A new Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, wow, a new Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, are you telling me that there's a new Assassin's Creed? That's fucking crazy.
I think it'll be Call of Duty now? Come on.
Yeah, there was some other stuff that I didn't know about. So, like, there's, like, a new Insurgency game.
Yeah.
There's a new wrestling game. Yeah. Some other stuff. Oh, the other one is The Division 2.
Oh.
Got leaked. But it's a whole bunch of leaks.
Yeah.
Walmart Canada just doesn't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's that. So, look forward to those trailers, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of E3... For the first time in 2 years, Square Enix will be holding their own press conference.
Oh, 2 years? What the fuck?
They skipped out 16 and they skipped out 17.
Okay.
But they're coming back, and I assume it's because of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, it's not Kingdom Hearts?
Because of the leak. It's not Kingdom Hearts, man! The game's not coming out! It's not a real game.
You sure it's like, man, they got Final Fantasy VII and Kingdom Hearts? This should be the biggest.
You know what it's going to be?
What?
It's going to be Kingdom Hearts DLC for Final Fantasy XV.
Oh. What if it's actually Final Fantasy VI, but remade in like that chibi art style they did 4 in?
And they did World in?
Yeah.
Eh. It's better than the mobile arc they have.
For the 3DS.
Yeah, I'll be down with that. That's fine.
Oh, no.
Dude, you want to know the first time? You know, no, no, eh. You want to know how I first played through Chrono Trigger? 3DS. That's how I did it.
How can you call yourself a gamer? You don't have a Super Nintendo.
I don't have a Super Nintendo. You're right.
What's wrong with you?
Because...
You don't own arguably the greatest console of all time.
I own the PS2.
Oh, I said arguably.
I own the PS2. Yeah, I don't know. If you want to get into that, the Super Nintendo, A, is like $90 if I want to buy one.
That's cheap.
B, all the good games are $100+.
It's cheap.
And to be honest, I own the game on the Super Nintendo that I want to own, which is Final Fantasy III.
But in your heart of hearts, don't you want to play it on its original platform? How it was meant to be experienced?
I have it signed by Nobuo Uematsu. And I don't really want to...
Don't you want to get a second copy?
Oh, I do. I kind of do. Oh, you got me. And I could just get the cart. I don't need the box. I already have the box. Yeah. It's fine.
See?
Complete in box signed by Nobuo. That stays on the shelf.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm. Interesting proposition you have brought up.
Mm.
My wallet is crying. So yeah, that's happening. I assume it's more Final Fantasy shit. The next one isn't E3 related, but it's still video game related. Nintendo Switch's online service launching in September, in case you forgot.
I did forget.
Yeah. $20 a year. It's coming out. It's going to give you access to a smartphone app, which is currently free.
Wow, a smartphone app.
It's going to give you access.
Hold on. How can the smartphone app be free when I'm paying $20 to get this access?
It's free now.
Oh.
So here's the thing. All the online portions of all Switch games, of Splatoon, of Mario Kart, all free.
Yeah.
As soon as September rolls around, all these people will have had a year of free internet. And now they have to pay.
Oh my god, that's awful.
Yeah. So the subscription, $20 a year, will also finally let you put your saves to the cloud.
Oh.
So if you lose your Switch or you break your Switch or you lose your memory card, you don't lose everything.
I'd have to be using my Switch first of all.
True.
Yeah.
True. And then the other thing is you'll be able to play these classic NES games offline.
Offline,
because you can download them to your Switch, and you don't have to be online to play them.
Wow.
Classics like Ice Climber, The Legend of Zelda, Balloon Fight,
oh god,
soccer,
oh my god,
tennis,
okay,
Mario Bros, Super Mario Bros,
Dr.
Mario, Donkey Kong, and the best Mario game,
okay,
Super Mario 3.
Ooh.
So you can play all these classics.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Okay, tell me.
The only thing that's really like intriguing me about this is online save backup.
Yeah.
But also, I have to be playing my Switch for that to matter.
Yeah.
Everything else, I don't give a fuck. Because I own all those NES games. And if I want to play them, I'll just... put them in my NES.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a conundrum.
Sure is. So
I don't know if it's worth it even for $20. Is there even any online games that you still want to play? Like, I stopped playing Splatoon. Xenoblade doesn't really have any online features.
I don't know. I didn't buy that game for Mario Kart.
Are you going to buy Mario Kart?
No.
Exactly. So, I don't know. This seems like a really weird thing. And because it's so low...
Call of Duty?
No. Doom on the Switch, though. The thing is like, because it's such a low barrier to entry, it seems all that much of a, like, a money grab ploy.
Yeah.
Whereas with PlayStation, it feels like, okay, you're getting all these free games per month, you're getting online access, you're getting cloud storage, and you're pretty much getting the same basic stuff. But because I use those consoles more, it doesn't feel that way.
Right? Yeah.
So I just think that they need more games.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 3 has to be released sooner rather than later.
They need more than just that,
though. Yeah, true. Because that's not going to be online. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would need. What would they need to make that $20 worth? Like, to make you buy that? Or do they have to do anything at all? Or are you just going to get it?
No, I probably won't get it.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, what they would have to do is they'd have to make me value the Switch as my platform of choice for online gaming.
Fair.
And I just don't see that happening.
Let me tell you about Squid Kids.
Nope. Nope. Unless Nintendo makes their own version of Overwatch that somehow is better than Overwatch, not happening.
What if they just put Overwatch on the Switch?
No, because then I'm playing an inferior version.
But what if you could tether your Switch to your phone and you could play Overwatch on the go?
No. No. No.
Okay. All right. It's no portable Overwatch for you then.
No, apparently not.
And then the last pick I have is not video game related at all. It's actually boy band related.
Boy band.
There was an interesting article by Brian Ashcraft, the Japanese reporter on Kotaku. And the title is Underground Boy Bands Charge Fans by the Minute for Hugs and Finger Kisses. And it's a really cool article that goes into the underground idol scene, or the chika idoru scene.
Chika idoru?
Idoru.
It's too much idoru.
And so these small, like, so idols, when you think of idols in Japan, normally people think like AKB48 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or even they get it confused with girl groups of Korea, like Girls' yeah. Generation and stuff yeah. like that. But there are a lot of underground idol groups oh, that just play.
I know.
Oh, really?
I know.
You go to the meet and greets? You go to the handshake events?
Listen, I'm part of some deep shit.
All right.
Being a Macross fan, I gotta know about these underground idols.
Would you say that you're a master of the idols?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
No, 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 no.
Okay. And it's just a really cool look into the scene yeah. of underground idols yeah. and what these boy bands are doing to basically make some extra cash, where they will go behind curtains and pay, like, they will get paid to hug people, do finger kisses, which is like they'll go in for the kiss, but they put their finger in between your lips, so it's like it's a secret, right? And they do all this stuff, and these girls lose their shit. Yeah.
I gotta say, like, sometimes Japan can be weird, but sometimes they're also really progressive.
Yeah.
Because this is basically saying, in Japan, if you want to actually be a celebrity, there's a legit career path to go that way.
Yeah.
As opposed to here in the West, where it's kind of just
take
like...
Take the gamble, bruh.
Yeah. Put all your heart in, and who knows what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in there, it's just like, no, they have proper outlets where you can...
And there's small-time idols.
Yeah, and like, they have different levels. They're like, you start here,
yeah.
you move here. If you're big enough, you go here.
Here. And so the main thing, apparently, that the underground idols is, especially for boys,
yeah.
the reason it came about is because there's a company that pretty much has a monopoly on big-time idols. I think it's called Johnny's. And...
Yeah, it would be called Johnny's.
A Japanese company called Johnny's. They pretty much have a monopoly on male idols.
Yeah.
So these other smaller people, to get noticed by Johnny's, will do these underground yeah. things. And to make extra cash, they will have these events
yeah.
where they're doing kind of creepy things.
Yeah.
But it,
yeah.
it's a really cool read. He also had another article this week. It was about the history of the Japanese face masks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, like, why they use them so much.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, so, one day I was sick, and I was recovering from being sick. I didn't go into work on Friday, but I went into work on Monday, and I wore a face mask to work because I didn't want to cough over everybody. And also, I didn't want to contaminate my own area.
Yeah.
Holy crap, the amount of looks you get, because it's not normal here, right?
No.
Like, the amount of looks you get on the street and the amount of questions you get from people is, like, insane. But every single time I explained it to somebody, was like, oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Right? It was never just like, that's weird. It was always weird at first. And then when I explained it, like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? And it, I don't know. It, I was in the office for 2 days and I was sick still. But because I had the face mask on, like,
yeah.
no one else got contaminated. I didn't have to, like, clean my desk all the time.
Yeah.
I just kind of coughed into my mask.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so useful.
Hmm.
So useful.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is, because I work around children, there's a daycare right beside my office. And all the kids were like, why are you wearing that mask? Right? Just asking the whole time. It's been like a week since then. They're still like, why aren't you wearing the mask anymore? What's going on? What happened? Like, it was just like a shock to them. They're like, what's happening? So it's pretty fun.
Did you tell them some lies?
No, I told them because I was sick.
Oh, you should tell them some lies.
Because I'm an alien.
You should have said I was growing my mouth back.
Growing my mouth back? I lost my mouth. I don't want to growing it back. So I thought those were some pretty interesting articles that people should read.
Yeah.
Cool. And I believe that's it.
Cool.
I'm just going to double check here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, bro. That's
cool.
It.
Cool. Two intro weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start off. I watched a movie.
Okay.
Called The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, what a coincidence, because I also watched
Wait,
a movie.
Why did you watch this?
Because it was on I was scrolling through my Netflix queue, and I was like, oh, The Hitman's Bodyguard. Yeah. And I put it on while I was grinding out Neo.
Oh.
I also watched The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yeah. What'd you think?
That's a good movie.
It is good.
I really like that movie.
Yeah, like, it doesn't do anything particularly insane or over the top.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's, you know what it is? It's one of those, like,
secret big, love stories.
Like, big blockbuster comedies that just appeal to the mainstream super hard.
Yeah. I also thought it was a really clever, like, secret relationship story.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it's played off as, like, this action comedy between the two. But really, it's about relationships and, like, learning to give and take and, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, oh, that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, the whole premise is so dumb. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm AAA security. Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, he's AAA security ranking.
And he keeps saying it like we're supposed to know.
Yeah.
But it's...
Because I like how that plays into a part of a joke where other people are like, AAA, are you an idiot? Like, but, like, the basic... you want to say the premise? Or...
No, go ahead.
So the basic premise is that... I want to say Ryan Gosling. Ryan Reynolds is a bodyguard, and he protects the highest class of the highest class clients. And he was leading his Japanese guy through to the airport, and everything was going hunky-dory. And as he was waving goodbye, he gets shot in the face.
Yeah, he does.
Right? And then it fast cuts to Ryan Reynolds' life just in the shitter.
Yeah.
And pretty much what happens is that there's a leader of a country that wants a hitman dead. So they put the hitman under police custody.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Reynolds has to be the bodyguard for the hitman, hence The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the whole time... The hitman, played by Samuel Jackson, has a wife that he wants to see, that he loves. But also, keeps wanting to see Ryan Gosling.
Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds' character has a fellow police officer that he liked.
Or was in a relationship
with. Was in a relationship with. And because of the whole thing, he thought she betrayed him.
Yeah.
Put the hit on the dude to make him get demoted. Yeah. Right? And it's the whole thing. But the story's like secretly about, hey... Get out of your own ass.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be in a relationship, it's give and take.
Yeah.
You have to learn both. You have to learn to dance the dance.
Yep.
Right? And it was actually, like, really cute.
Yeah.
On top of having really fun action scenes.
Yeah, definitely. Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds, they worked well together. It was fun.
Yeah.
A super fun movie.
I liked it.
I recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's a popcorn muncher.
Yes. Very much so. If you want to just have a fun time. Not really think too hard. It's a good movie.
The whole time I watched it, I was playing Neo.
Yeah.
I did not miss a plot point at all.
Yeah, for sure.
It's one of those
movies. I can believe that, yeah. And then I watched this other show called Prison Break.
Okay.
Season 5. Now, there was a time where my favorite shows were all going on at the same time, but they're all like the type of shows where... Only season one is the best, and it's the only thing I recommend.
Yeah.
It was Heroes, and the other one was Prison Break. Okay. Prison Break season one is... It's a little over the top, but it's kind of like, wow, that's amazing TV.
Okay.
Anyways, the show ended 4 years ago with four seasons, and it ends with the main character dying.
Okay.
Season 5 is...
Resurrected from the dead.
Pretty much.
What?
It's the reveal that he faked his death.
Oh my god.
And so
I was joking.
The first season is about breaking out of prison in America for some reason, okay? Season 5 is just fucking over the top. Mm-hmm. He's in a prison somewhere in the Middle East, but it's a war zone. So even if you break out of prison, you're in a war zone. And it's all territory covered by ISIS. So It's just bananas, and it's about a corrupt CIA agent who runs a shadow operation, and the idea is the main character faked his death so that he could work for the shadow operation in the CIA to constantly break into prisons and break out bad guys.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's insane. It's really just over the top and ridiculous.
Does it like retroactively change everything from the past seasons? Like no. The perspective you have?
No, it does not.
Okay.
They're really good about that. Like, it definitely is, this character is actually not dead. They bring back a lot of the cast from the original show.
Why are they breaking out criminals?
Because the guy, okay, so the CIA shadow op, he feels like justice is too slow. So he's going to serve up his own sense of justice.
Oh my god. And
sometimes that means breaking out the worst of the worst terrorists to speed up the process.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's fucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, if so, I don't know if you can watch it on its own to be like, what? But
okay,
if you were one of the few who actually finished Prison Break, it's actually really fun to see how they wrapped it up. It's only, I think, 8 episodes.
Per season?
No, the final season.
Oh, the final season.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How long are the rest of the seasons?
The first season, I think, was 20 episodes. And then 20, and then they got progressively shorter.
Okay.
But yeah. It's
hour long?
Yeah. Okay. 440 minutes. Yeah. Right. So it was fun to see. And then the other show I watched, it was the Netflix thing. And the title is just Fastest Car.
I saw this. And it was like, recommended to me.
And I was like, okay, I'll bite.
I'll click it.
Yeah.
They show the fastest cars?
You'll like it. So the idea is, who has the faster car?
Okay.
The rich guy with a supercar or the three blue-collar workers who build sleeper cars?
Ooh. Oh, money versus mechanics.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So the idea is, so like the first episode is, yeah, so there's a guy who has, you know, he just has money because he works in the financial industry and he bought himself a Ford GT.
Oh, this car's so nice. Oh my god.
There's three other people and they filmed them and they're like, they're all definitely blue, the bluest of blue collar.
Okay.
You know, they can barely, like, they can, they're the type of people who they've put more money into their car than their house.
Okay.
Right? But they have,
their car's insane.
Yeah, but they're all sleeper hits. So like one guy has a fucking minivan.
I was going to say he's like a Chevy Nova.
No, he has a minivan that's putting out over 1,000 horsepower. Yeah. There's every episode, there's always like someone with a truck. The first episode is a girl with a truck.
Okay.
And, you know, she's got a lot.
They're blue collar. Their million horsepower truck also has to be their work truck.
Yeah. And so, like, it's filmed documentary style. So they show you 7 days before the race, prepping for the build, testing.
They race out like the salt flats? Like,
drag strip.
Okay.
They go to track. But but you get to, it's, you know, you get to learn about their family, their background, why they do this, their feelings towards the competition and whatnot. And it's super fun to watch, but there's a great irony to the show that I don't know if it's deliberate, but it just, I find it really upsetting. It's the fact that, so a lot of the blue collar workers, it's the typical stuff that you would expect, like, building a car is, like, my car is better because it shows that what you can get if you put your own time into it, and you can get a car that's got more value than a supercar because it's just as fast, but it's like
fractions of the price.
It's just a fraction of the cost. And it's the same argument when people tell me that, oh, model kits are better because you build it yourself. Okay. And like, to a certain extent, I get that. But their idea is no one will ever suspect this car to be fast. You know, people will
see it on the street and they'll be like, yeah. I had a friend who had a quote unquote sleeper car.
Yeah, and they'll be like, they'll make prejudgmental errors and that'll teach them to not judge my car.
Yeah.
But at the same time, all they want to talk about is how, oh, this guy over here he comes from money. I don't know, maybe his daddy bought it for him. And it's just judging. And that, I find that so upsetting.
I think that's just like a wider commentary on people.
Yeah.
In general.
But it's just like, it's one of those things that just made me just really sad and angry when I was watching. Because it's like, they only tend to find people who have that outlook. Like they genuinely hate rich people because for the simple reason of they're rich and they're not.
Yeah.
You know, there was one guy though, who was like, and I really want to root for him to win because his idea was like, hey, listen, that guy's got a supercar, you know, he's doing something right. I just want a piece of that.
Yeah.
That type of that
pride. It wasn't these people suck.
Yeah, okay. It was, and at the same time, like, and that I think that's the thing about the show that I don't like. There's specific rules. The sleeper cars can be customized. You can do whatever the fuck you want with your car.
Okay,
but the supercar guy has to be stock. He has to be fresh off the lot.
Okay,
and like that's it. And
well, I think the people who own those cars wouldn't want to mod them anyways, because that like tanks their resale value, right? If they're these like finance rich people, yeah. The car is probably an investment on top of being
well. The thing fast. Is, the first guy they show, like, he's actually really into cars and he has a garage full of stuff that's customized, but the one he uses is a stock Ford GT.
Interesting, okay.
Just for like a bit of background, he was really good friends
with Paul Walker. See, that was me prejudging the show.
Yeah, so like for background, the first guy, the rich guy, is very good friends with Paul Walker, or was very good friends with Paul Walker.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does he know his ghost? Like,
yeah, and like he talks about how they used to have a huge collection of cars, they worked on cars all the time, but they all had money.
Yeah,
so
made it easy.
And like, and for me, it's like these people, the rich people, and the people who don't have or who are less fortunate. Both of them still share a passion for cars, and like that's what I'd rather see, not this animosity towards rich and poor. And like that's the part of the show that I don't really like, but I understand why they did it, because it fucking sells.
Dude, you just described racism through cars.
Yeah, I know.
Right? It's, oh, these people have the same love for the same thing.
Yeah.
But you're brown.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's sad. And like it comes to the point where I'm like, well, you know what? I do want the rich kid to win. It's like, because there is one guy who's just, he has money.
But there's also, like, the thing is like, there's...
Get me wrong. There's also episodes where the rich guy is an asshole.
Yeah, he's just told. And, like, even in your life, like,
yeah.
Vince, your personal life,
yeah.
Like, stories you've told me of when you were invigilating tests,
yeah.
Where you asked a kid, like, what's it like to be so rich?
Yeah.
And instead of answering your question normally, yeah. He went, oh, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be poor.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, you had to throw in a little jab because yeah. You're an asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like... The hatred thing goes both ways.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But it's annoying yeah. Either way.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I just wish the show wasn't so, like, that's definitely one of the things the show tries to center on, and I just wish it wasn't. I wish it was about the car.
Fair.
But I guess in that environment, like, that's half their motivation, right? For the poor people to show up the rich people.
Yeah.
So. But it's worth a watch. It's surprising.
Did they play it out where, like, the quote-unquote poor people, like, win most of the time? Or you didn't want to leave that a secret?
No. I mean, I've only seen 3 episodes, and I would say in, like, one of them with the rich guy won.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's fucking hilarious.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of those shows usually set up to be, like, this guy's the underdog, even though he has this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it probably would, like, if they did allow them to mod the supercars, I think
yeah.
At a certain point,
yeah,
monetary, like, skill would go over
so, actual... Yeah, the thing that I want to see is the sleeper car versus the team of engineers who just, like, go to town on a supercar.
Yeah, who take, like, a Ford GT and yeah. Then just pimp the
fuck. And they're like, out of it. Oh, we'll show you what it's really like.
Yeah.
We'll show you what happens when we have a pro level team with money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, to be honest, that's not, to me, that wouldn't be interesting.
Oh, no, of course not.
Right? That would just, like, yo, watch this guy get fucked. And then also, he gets so sad that he kills himself later.
I know. It's like saying, put them up against a professional racing team.
Yeah, you know what I want to do? I want to put Timmy. I know Timmy's in a wheelchair, but...
So one of the races... The first episode, there's a guy in a wheelchair.
We're going to put him up against Mike Tyson. It's going to be a boxing match.
Yeah.
Timmy's going to get fucked.
Yeah, I know.
So...
But no, it's fun. It's really fun. Like,
okay.
They do a great job at... You never know who has the advantage.
All right, I'll check that out.
Up until the race happens. And it's...
I saw the title, and I was like, that's a dumb title.
Yeah.
And I just didn't. Yeah. I just didn't.
Oh, it's definitely a dumb title.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's been my week.
Okay. In my week, other than Hitman's Bodyguard, still been playing Neo. I am at a point now where I'm like, this game is fucking amazing.
Oh.
The game's super, super duper good.
Oh, wow. Do you wish you finished it last year?
I do so much. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. It takes quite a while for it to differentiate itself from Dark Souls,
mm-hmm.
right? When you first start the game, you get a sword, you're going through dark and dank, dungy, whatever, dungeons, and it's Dark Souls. It's wait for the attack, hit him, but instead of a backstab, it's stamina fatigue, hit him with a crit, and all this stuff. But once you start getting further into the game and further into the story and builds become available, it just fucking changes the whole dynamic of playing that game. What turns into what was a Dark Souls like back and forth type thing turns into a, I can probably overpower these people with my gear. If I play certain things out right, and I have certain strategies going into a fight, like I can make it more exciting visually, but also just easier in general. So for example, I've got a dual sword build that utilizes a sword called, like, the move called Water Sword. It just attacks like crazy.
Water sword.
But I get a damage bonus when I'm hitting people from behind.
Yeah.
So when I face bosses, I use a slow down move to get behind them. I use a move on me that ups my attack, the like all this magic stuff.
Yeah.
And you can make your armor work with your magic, which works with your builds to do crazy shit.
Yeah.
And the game really becomes something else, especially when bosses stop being these like slow lurking monsters into other like famous samurais from the feudal Japan era.
Yeah.
Right? Like facing human characters and like facing those really changes the way you play that game because you're facing people that are like you.
Right.
Right. And the more I play it, the more I'm in love with it. Like, to the point where I'm doing every single side mission and just, even though sometimes they're reused maps and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm just having fun the whole way through because it's always a different challenge. You're always unlocking stuff. I want to say I'm like 40 to 50 hours in.
Holy.
And I still haven't beat the game.
Yep.
There's 4 new game pluses.
Why?
Because that's how they did it. Because when you get to the new game plus, you unlock different tiers of items, right?
Oh.
So you can make your build even better. I haven't touched the DLC at all.
Wow.
So there is content for fucking days.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And this game is awesome. I wish I played it sooner.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. Other than that, I bought Rhythm Heaven on the 3DS. Nintendo was having a sale if you had some coins. Some My Nintendo coins. Some
coinage.
That game's Rhythm Heaven as fuck. It's Rhythm Heaven. It's just the best of all the Rhythm Heaven games. And here's all the fun minigames. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm.
There's not much more to say about that. It's just, if you like Rhythm Heaven, you'll like this game because it's the greatest hits. It's fucking fantastic. It's still hard. It's still hard as shit, though. And then the last one I've been playing, I actually started getting into Hearthstone.
Oh my.
Now that I have a phone that's not an ancient brick, I can finally play Hearthstone, and I realized it about a week, 2 weeks ago. I didn't want to talk about it before, but I'm getting into the point now where I'm playing ranked. I'm looking up decks. I'm tweaking my decks to make them better with cards I have.
Who are you?
I'm carefully spending my free game in-game currency that I get from matches to buy packs. Why? I haven't spent any real money on the game.
Wow.
How could you? What, play for free?
Yes.
And then also they have a new dungeon run mode that's like a monster hunt, and it's with brand new characters and brand new hero powers.
Yeah.
And that's just super fun. Like there's one, she's a time tinker. And her hero power is just start your turn over.
Yeah.
Right. It's, I like Hearthstone. I like what Hearthstone has become. It's a very approachable TCG that doesn't require huge amounts of money to get started.
Mm.
It actually requires no money to get started.
Mm.
But I'm slowly learning that if you want to get into the meta decks, You have to buy packs. Oh my God. You will not unlock packs and cards at a fast enough clip to where it's worth it for you to free play. Even though that you can do a thing called dust. You can dust your extra cards.
Yeah.
Something dirty.
You can dust them. Stole that shit from Guilty Gear.
Give me that dust.
Give me that dust.
Yeah.
So you can dust your cards and you can use that dust to craft cards you don't have or a second card of a card you do have.
Yep.
But legendaries are so expensive and you get so little dust from the bonus cards that because you're starting out, you most likely only have commons.
Yeah.
Right. It's not worth it to try and grind it out. Unless you just have all the time in the world.
I don't.
You don't. Exactly. But I've been using a pretty basic taunt deck. I've been using the Druid class. Its hero power is to gain 1 armor and 1 attack, and then it can attack stuff. But the game has changed a lot from when I first played it. I first played it when it came out, and it was just Swing City. Just swing for the fences. First guy to hit 0. Like, pretty much, did you swing first? You win. Right? But now the game has changed a lot, where there's a lot of counterplay between decks. There's lots of different types of decks between aggro, defensive, spell heavy.
Yeah.
I saw one deck I played against I thought was just fucking bonkers was the deck only has 3 monster cards in it, 3 creature cards. It's this one legendary is called Barnes, and what he does is that he goes through your deck and summons a 1/1 version of a minion in your deck. No, sorry, it has two. So it has Barnes. And the other one is this guy. Oh, he's got some fucking like Eldritch Horror name. But he's a 10-10 for 10.
Yeah.
And his thing is, at the end of your turn, summon a monster from your deck.
Oh.
So you play Barnes on turn 3, because he's 3 mana.
Yeah.
He summons the only other creature card, which is a 1/1 version of the 10/10,
yeah,
which still has the effect, which then summons the 10/10 on turn 3.
Oh, I see.
And then you just fuck the other guy in the ass. Yeah,
okay.
Right? It just immediately puts him on a turn 2 turn clock on turn 3, and you almost have no ways to deal with it unless you're just super prepared.
Yeah. Right? You never are.
You never are. Especially with the cards I have, you never are. And so it like seeing stuff like that, even though like I got crushed by it, is like super fun.
Yeah.
And it shows that Hearthstone has evolved in a way where you can make interesting things happen. And there's interesting interactions between cards and stuff like that. So
that's good.
It's been a lot more fun to play, even if I am getting stopped by some of the meta decks. Yeah, the other thing though is that because the interactions are more important, you can outplay people that have better decks. I'm playing a deck that its highest rarity card is a rare. It's the one step up from common. And with that, I have beaten multiple people who run like semi-meta decks that are running legendaries and just cards that have crazy power because I outplayed them, because I waited, because I attacked when I needed to, because I saved certain spells for certain events, right? And these people are obviously going to go higher in the rank than me, because average they're going to win, but the fact that I could beat them by outplaying them or outmathing them pretty much is pretty cool.
It's good.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is there's a card. It's 6 mana, and what it does, it summons a 1/5 scarab, so 1 attack, 5 health with taunt for each minion on your opponent's side of the field. So you cast it, it summons it. If your opponent still has more minions than you, it casts again and again and again and again. So people do that, and it's like they usually can't get through like 5 1/5s because it's just too much health. And then you can just, for Druid at least, you can use this card called Primal Roar. And you double Primal Roar, and it gives you them +2 attack.
Mm.
And then the Ender is another one. I think it's like a Panther thing. You can either summon a 3/2 Panther, or you can give all your minions +1/+1.
Mm.
So by the time I do that, I have a bunch of six attack minions, and I just go ba 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 ba, and I swing into the face, right? Yeah. Because they were like, okay, I'm not even gonna. He's not gonna win. Right? These are all 1/1s, and you just surprise attack, kick their ass. So it's fun that the game is now interactive.
Cool.
The only thing is that the game doesn't have any out of turn interactions, like, yeah, if it's not your turn, other than secrets. Hmm. And you kind of got to build your deck around.
You saying you're missing the trap card?
See, I'm missing trap cards. I'm missing instant sport spells. Missing all that stuff.
You activated my trap card.
I actually, so I've been watching a lot of like Twitch stuff lately. I've been learning about Twitch culture.
Yeah.
And live streamers, IRL streamers and stuff like that. Apparently the new hotness to say is like poggers or pogchamp.
Yeah.
When something is like awesome.
Yeah.
But apparently Twitch had a thing where they just played through all of Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, oh, the show.
Oh my.
And it was Twitch chat reacts to Yu-Gi-Oh!
No.
And it was the scene, yeah, where they had like, it was him versus, it was Yugi versus Kaiba, and they had the god cards out, yeah, and it was just like infinite trap cards between the both of them, yeah, right? And it's just 5 minutes of Twitch chat going like, what is happening? What is this show? Holy shit. It was really funny.
They're so drawn out too.
Yeah, I'll try and find the link again and I'll send it to you, but it's, oh, it's so
you
good.
You activated my trap card.
Oh, but you activated my trap card, but your trap card has activated my trap card, Yugi. Which turned all your monsters into Karibos.
Yeah.
But all my Karibos protect me from a direct attack. It's fucking ridiculous. And like cards that don't exist.
It's amazing how exciting that show is considering you don't know what either of them have at any point.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Or the fact that they have more trap cards than are allowed on the field.
Yeah.
Man. I still think the show to real life disappointment is Beyblade.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like watching Beyblade and just being like, holy shit, they're like summoning dudes out of their tops and they're like battling their sparks and shit.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Yeah. And then you get it and you're like, oh, this is fine, I guess. And then you go to Pacific Mall,
yeah,
and you buy the oversized weights. Did I ever tell you that story?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, it's so good. And then you make their Beyblades explode.
Yeah. Oh, the 90s.
They're fun times.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back.
I'd like to go back.
With, like, as your current self or as your past self?
As my past self.
Do you have the memories intact?
No.
Okay. Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you could switch bodies, Freaky Friday, with anybody, who would it be? But you get to keep all your memories. You don't just become that person. Like, your conscience becomes that person. You get to keep all your memories.
Does it have to be today?
Doesn't have to. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be today. We'll do that. Okay, why?
So,
all
right. So it has to be a girl.
See, okay. This is the part I was getting to. Because a coworker asked me this.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, do I have all my memories intact? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm switching to a girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's like the most logical choice. Because, like, I don't want to transfer to another dude. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I want to be like a hot girl.
Yeah, if it's a Freaky Friday, I'm going for the hottest girl around.
Yeah, I want to be a Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, I want to go all the way.
Be a Beyonce.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I want to know what that feels like.
Uh-huh. I got to know.
You got to know.
I don't know. With the assumption that I'm coming back, of course, I'm going to be a girl.
Okay, what if you're never coming back?
That's tough, man. That's tough.
If you're never coming back.
I don't know. Because I don't know if I want the baggage associated with, like, some of these super popular people.
Hmm. Okay, then be like a Tristratus. Be like you were famous at one point and you're still hot, but, like, nobody really remembers who you are. And if you were out on the street, like, it wouldn't matter.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Or Alita.
I don't want
to
be...
Why don't I just go to wrestlers?
I was going to say, I don't want to be a wrestler, man.
Stacy Keibler.
Ooh.
She's barely a wrestler. She's got legs.
Yeah, she's tall.
She's tall and has legs.
She's just tall. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I'd be. But I just know it'd be a girl. A hot girl.
You'd be China.
No. No, not be China.
You said a hot girl. China.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to be like... See, like, the more...
Caitlyn Jenner.
The more interesting situation is if I knew someone that was super hot.
Oh, interesting.
Because I would get more value out of that.
Oh, I got a fucked up idea.
Yeah.
Would you trade places with your girlfriend?
No.
And then your girlfriend's in your body?
No, 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 no.
You're still in a relationship.
Yeah, that's fucking weird, though.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Now you know.
That's like... See... No.
Why not? What's wrong? No. I don't understand. No. It seems like you said a hot girl, someone you know. Wouldn't you want
no
to fuck yourself?
No. 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 Please no. I feel sorry. Whoa. Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to ask that. I'm going to ask it. I'm going to ask my coworker if she'd want to switch places with her husband.
You know, I'm going to ask that too to my coworker. See what she thinks about that.
But you got to set it up like I did. You got to set it up as in, like, if you could switch places.
Like, who could you Freaky Friday with? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
And then you got to drop it. Then you got to drop the bomb of, would you get fucked by your own husband in your body?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Is it cheating? Interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Leave the audience with that, I guess. Gross. Is it, though?
I don't know.
It fulfills all your requirements.
I guess so. I feel like it'd be a more fun situation. No. I don't know, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just know it'd be a girl.
For sure. That's the only part I wanted to get to, because I said that too.
Yeah.
And they all looked at me weird. And I'm like, why is that weird?
Yeah.
It's like the logical choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Been a guy all my life. That's not going to change. So, see what the other one has to
do. Well, you're going to have to experience it once.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to go to Pound Town and take one to the chin.
Oh, God. Oh. That seems like a great place to end.
Right in the kiss.
That's the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
Bye.